From the Word of God, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, beginning at verse 30. Then the apostles gathered together to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, "Five and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sit down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 2 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the 4th watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of the Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through that whole surrounding region, and began to carry on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered, into villages or cities or countries, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Today we talk about the table of no limitations. And a good place to start is with the skeptic's response. Come on. Let's be realistic. I believe that God can do wonderful things, but this is impossible. Ever hear that said? Ever say it yourself? My guess is that we've all received answers to prayers which have boosted our faith. But most of us have areas that we write off as not being within the realm that God can or will intercede for us. And we build a neat, ordered list of the things that we can ask God about and the things that God will do on our behalf. And we decide what's proper to pray for and what is impossible. Our faith slacks. Our impossible list gets longer. But the passage we study today is a vivid account of Jesus' efforts to liberate His disciples from the limitations of the impossible. At the end of the day, referred to in this passage, we know that Jesus was trying to teach His disciples not to limit the territory of their faith, not to be fenced in by human limitations. And they seem to have missed the message. The first thing He tried to teach them was to come apart, or their faith in God's power to reach beyond their situations would falter and fail. I heard someone preaching on this text one time say, if you don't come apart, you'll come apart. And I think I got the message. If we don't give ourselves time to be alone with Jesus, the things that are going on around us are going to cause us anxiety and difficulties. Now, the disciples have just returned from a missionary journey throughout the land of Galilee. And they've seen God working as they taught, as they ministered, as they had been able to be out there in Jesus' name and doing the things of the Lord. And they've been recounting to Him the things that have gone on. They were excited, they were delighted, they were filled with the nervous energy of success and victory. And it seemed like a good time to press on with the enthusiasm of their spiritual high. And instead, Jesus says, come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while. And what Mark literally says is not just come away by yourselves, but come away for yourselves. Let God recharge you with grace and mercy. The word for rest in our scripture is not the same word as the English word vacation. A vacation is loading stuff into the family car, more stuff than you need, driving hundreds of miles or perhaps thousands of miles, unloading the car every night into a motel, loading back up the next morning, heading out again, dealing with, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Or, he touched me, she touched me. And then we get home from our vacation, needing a vacation. Well, Jesus' word to come aside for rest is to cease from our labors in order to recover our strength and collect His strength. And late in the night, the disciples are practicing this. The crowd is tired. The disciples must have felt with concern. They've seen us going. They followed us. They didn't take time to prepare. They don't have any food. Jesus, let's send them away into the villages where they can buy food to eat so that they can rest and not suffer from hunger. And we can all empathize with their response. Jesus, if we had 200 denarii, a denarii was a typical coin of the day, which was equal to the amount that a working person would make for one day. And what the disciples are saying is, if we had 200 days' wages, half a year's work, If we had that much money, it wouldn't be enough to buy them each just a little bit. What's that? And all we've got is just a few coins. And there's not a bakery in town that's going to have that much bread anyway. So the second thing Jesus teaches them is to look beyond their resources to the power of Almighty God. And his question exposes their limitations. How many loaves do you have? Go and see. This is a big crowd. Mark tells us at the end that there were 5,000 men, which means many of them would have come with their wives, perhaps children. There could be a crowd approaching 10,000 people. And they come back from checking. Well, do you have anything? Do you have anything? They come back and say, well, we have 5 barley loaves. Small rolls made of the cheapest flour. And 2 small fish that would have been sun-dried to preserve them. And he says, that's what we have. But what are they among so many? And there have been a lot of explanations about what happens next. One Bible scholar that I read and enjoy misses the whole point when he says it was not a miracle of supply, but it was a miracle of touching people's heart and overcoming their selfishness. They've brought food. They've got it hidden under their robes, under their cloaks, and they don't want to share. But they see this little boy that Andrew brings with his lunch of 5 small loaves, 2 small fish, and he gives it to Jesus, and they're ashamed, and so they bring out their food, and they have what we might call dinner on the grounds, and they share with everybody, and everybody eats. Well, that's a good story. That's an interesting explanation. But it hits wide of the target, wide of the mark that Mark is telling us in this story. And others have said that Jesus, when he took the 5 loaves, because the people were spiritually satisfied, each one of them got just a little bit, and because they were spiritually satisfied, it was enough. And that's an evasion again. The point here is Jesus did a miracle. He multiplied the loaves and the fish and fed all the people. And Mark is careful to drive this point home because he concludes the story by telling us that they gathered up 12 baskets full of leftovers. 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and broken pieces of fish. And the baskets would have been pretty good size that would have filled up with the leftovers. Jesus had amazed the crowd, but his desire was to astonish his disciples. He wanted them to see a miracle at work. And the third thing that Jesus begins to teach them is by sending them back out to the sea while he goes into the mountain to pray. And you know the story. By the time he comes down from his prayer time, comes to the shore, he can see them out across the sea somewhere, not so far out because the wind's against them and they're rowing hard and they're not making much progress. And I think he let them go alone to give them an opportunity to trust God rather than their limits of what was possible. And Mark tells us that Jesus came to them walking on the waves. And there's an interesting comment that Mark makes in his gospel. He says, Jesus meant to walk right on by. It wasn't that he didn't see them. He knew where they were. He walked right past them. He meant to keep on going. Why? To strengthen their faith. They're not in the trouble they think they're in. But when they see Jesus walking, their reaction would have been like mine, perhaps like yours. It's a ghost! And they scream out in panic. And Jesus stops and turns around. He says, "Fellas, it's me." And he gets in the boat. The storm stops. They're successful at getting to the other side. And his personal presence, his personal assurance is very strong. Literally what he's saying is, "It is I and not anyone else. Stop being afraid. It is I and not anyone else. Stop being afraid." And this takes us to the table of no limitations. In verse 41, Mark says, "Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people." Words sound familiar, don't they? Very similar to the words that we'll read in a few moments, that we read every Sunday when we have communion. He took, he broke, he blessed, he gave. And Jesus takes the ordinary things of life, the ordinary stuff in all its scarcity, 2 small fish and 5 loaves of the cheapest flour, and transforms them into God's self-giving generosity. And the outcome is that they all ate, all 5,000 men and whoever else was there, they all ate and were all filled, and there were 12 baskets full left over, enough for each of the disciples. 12 baskets, 12 disciples, enough for each of the disciples to have his own basket full. Now let me tell you, the news that's proclaimed in Christ's coming, which we remember at every communion service, is this: God is the gift who keeps on giving. And the people around Jesus are empowered to receive abundantly and therefore to act generously. Every day, all day, it is still true. He takes, he blesses, he breaks, he gives. And we're astonished by the surplus. It's all there for those with eyes to see, with ears to hear, and with hearts to remember. We are recipients of enough and enough and more than enough, and enough and more than enough to share, and to be glad in this giver who keeps on giving endlessly. As we approach the table of no limitations, we pray, God, whose giving knows no end, make us glad recipients of your generosity. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to remember your abundance, that we might share it with the world. Amen.